Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think that's the problem with a lot of rom-coms. Like, they claim, like, because it's in the clues in the name, they should be equally romantic and funny. Whereas I do find that, as even as someone who's a fan of them, most rom-coms are either like really good at the romance and crap at the comedy, or vice versa. Whereas I feel like this film does a really good job of both, and that's why it's so good.
I just also really, really love Steve Carell in this. There's just something about his humour and the way he can kind of like go to those levels and you're still on his side. I just think I really enjoy watching his films, and I think this is like one of his best. Hello everyone. Joining Flixwatcher today, we have Lizzie.
Hello.
Neil.
Hello.
And Kobe.
Hey.
And we're here to talk about Crazy Stupid Love.
If you enjoyed this episode of Flixwatcher Podcast, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or anywhere else you can rate or review podcasts. Also follow us on Flixwatcher Pod at Twitter or Flixwatcher on Instagram. And always thanks to the mighty people for the tunes they can hear right now, and to Ben at Rockwood Audio for editing this particular episode and all the episodes of our podcast. If you want to get your podcast edited, then why not give Ben a call? Go for Rockwood Audio, that's R-O-K-K Wood Audio, and tell them that Flixwatcher sent you.
Hello film fans, welcome to this episode of Flixwatcher Podcast. Our guests today are Neil and Lizzie. Over to you please, Lizzie, to say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hi, my name is Lizzie. I'm a big film fan. I was set with Neil because we're both big film fans on a date. 7 years later, still going all right. Day job is not film related. I work as a scholarships officer for a scholarship for international students. But yeah, that's me.
And you, Neil?
Yeah, I'm Neil. I am a blogger and occasional podcaster. Yeah, I blog quite a bit about films and TV, attend all sorts of like events and festivals and cover them. And yeah, big old film fan.
Awesome. And you chose Crazy Stupid Love. Can you tell us first of all why you chose it? And then we'll get the timer out. You got 60 seconds to tell us the synopsis.
Pressure's on. So I'm not like the biggest rom-com fan. I think Lizzie's a much bigger rom-com fan. Like, when it comes to films, I'm more sort of horror and action. But for this, it genuinely feels like one of the best romantic comedies of modern times. I think it came out in 2011, I think I'm right. And it's just very funny. It's heartwarming at times. It's very clever. It's got sort of a smart sort of ending as well. So yeah, it's overall, it's very, very good.
Okay, synopsis timer starts now.
Okay, so this is about Cal, who's played by Steve Carell, and he suddenly is told by his wife that she wants to get a divorce. His wife's played by Julianne Moore. He is feeling quite downtrodden and downbeat, and he wants to rediscover his manhood, which he does by accidentally meeting Ryan Gosling's Jacob in a bar, where he starts to dress differently and meets all sorts of women.
Perfect. Right, so how many people actually saw this at the cinema? Did anyone see this in the cinema?
I think I did.
I don't think I did, no.
I don't think I did.
But you think you did, Helen?
Yeah, I think so.
What pulled you in then to the cinema?
Because I had a Cineworld Unlimited card back in those days and would go and see basically anything. And Ryan Gosling was kind of big, and like big fan of Steve Carell from The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and big fan of Julianne Moore. In fact, like the whole cast is kind of stacked, and I think it kind of came with fairly good reviews before everyone got to make their own mind up about it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, for me, this is one of the films I maybe shunned it because of the title and assumed it was going to be nonsense. And then I don't know why I started watching it, but then within like 5 minutes, I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is really good. What about yourself, Neil, Lizzie?
I think I would have been on my year abroad in France when this came out, which is probably why I didn't see it at the cinema, because I did see a few films in France, and most of them are dubbed, and dubbed films are just not the one.
You want the Vost version, don't you?
I hate dub films so much. Like, ugh, just horrible. So, yeah, I probably would have seen it after the fact, maybe just at home or with friends. But I've always loved it ever since I've seen it. But yeah, that would be, I imagine that would be the reason. Because I have always loved rom-coms, so, yeah.
I can't remember when I first watched this film. I definitely didn't watch it in the cinema. It may have been Lizzie who introduced it to me, possibly. But ooh, really? I can't remember. I really love this film, but I can't remember when I first watched it, apparently.
Yeah, it was probably me being like, I know you don't like rom-coms, but please give this one a go because I promise you will like it.
Yes.
It's funnier than most of them. I think that's the problem with a lot of rom-coms. Like, they claim, because it's in the clues in the name, they should be equally romantic and funny. Whereas I do find that, as even as someone who's a fan of them, most rom-coms are either like really good at the romance and crap at the comedy or vice versa. Whereas I feel like this film does a really good job of both, and that's why it's so good.
I think historically, just to say before we go further into it, rom-coms do score quite well in FlixWatcher. So I'm interested to see where this goes. Everyone seems quite positive on it from the start. Yeah, I think it's great. I just think the cast, I don't know why, maybe I just heard the title and thought, no, this is not going to be for me in any way, shape or form. But looking back at it now, like I said, Julianne Moore, Steve Carell, didn't really know where Emma Stone, I think had Superbad come out at this point? I probably didn't realise that she was going to be such a big feature as she was. Really figure Ryan Gosling at the time. But then you got Marissa Tomei. You know, there's so many people in this cast who are just absolutely fantastic. Kevin Bacon? What? David Lindhagen?
Lindhagen.
I always forget that. And then they all meet the standard of their own celebrity in this. I think they're just all fantastic in this, and it's really, really great. And in the setup at the start, it's interesting, and then the twist at the end, I don't think I've seen that in a rom-com. And the first time watching it, it was just like, whoa,
such an unexpected twist in the film. I didn't see it coming, and when it came, it was like, oh, this is really good, this is really clever. Yeah. This is really funny, this is really, really, really funny. Well done, well played.
I think when you've got like an ensemble cast as well, you kind of have to get the balance right of giving everyone something to do. You can look at so many ensemble casts that, you know, that like someone can be in it for 5 minutes. As long as they've got something good to do, they're memorable, they're good, they fit into the film well. Whereas, and this just, it spreads it out really well. Like Kevin Bacon's in it, but he's not in it loads. But when he's in it, he's really good because he's kind of fully aware that he's the villain of the piece, and especially that scene where I think he's talking to Julianne Moore's character's son in the office, and he's just ripping him to shreds, and it's so clever.
But also with the Kevin Bacon, with David Lindhagen, first of all, I think just the name and everything is brilliant. But he's not like a super villain. He's just like someone who's been kind of caught up in that. He seems to genuinely actually like Julianne Moore's character. I can't remember what her name is, and you can see he's actually trying to make something work. He's like, oh. He's not dancing around with glee that they're potentially divorcing. He's just like, oh, well, maybe we can make it work then, which is brilliant. And I think also the different layers in that family, where you got the kids in love with Jessica, the babysitter in love with Cal trying to get back together with his wife, but then also all these things going on the side. And then you got Hannah / Nana, who you don't realise is part of it. It's just like the layers within that is, I just think it's really kind of fascinating how they put that together. It must have been like a chart on the wall where they're trying to say, okay, they love them and they love them, but they don't know that they love them. Oh,
Hannah is actually Nana. And if you work that out, then you'll get it. But if you don't, then you're in for a surprise.
I was listening out for this time because they actually mentioned the word Hannah. They actually mentioned her like halfway through the film. They don't mention her before. So it's kind of a subtle kind of lead in there.
But he does talk about his daughter a bit more as you get there. And when you watch it on rewatch, you're like, the sort of clues were there, but not quite.
Also, in talking about the ensemble cast as well, shout out to Josh Groban, who does a great job of like the smarmy boyfriend. Like, he's just so good at it. You're just like,
yeah. Because Josh Groban isn't, but somehow they make him look like really dweeby. And but he's just not really.
No, not in real life at all, no.
But it's his behaviour. It's his,
everything he says.
He's that guy.
Yeah, that's it. But the twists and the interweaving romances and all that, it's almost sort of murder mystery-esque, especially with the big reveal at the end. It's almost like it's written like a murder mystery. It's really, really clever because there are all these like plot strands, but they just marry them all together at once at the very end with that brilliant fight at the end. It's just so funny, especially when the cops come and then Ryan Gosling can't stop laughing at it. It's just so ridiculous.
That's my favourite bit of that, just how he sees the ridiculousness of it and just sits there and laughs at it.
Famous gift.
But even then, he's still trying to protect, like, Callie's still like, you know, like, stay away from her, like, you know, to David Lindhagen. Like, great.
Yeah, because when he says, you're David Lindhagen.
The film that launched A Thousand Gifts.
Yes. Yeah, that look that he gives him when he... I think he pulls his wallet out or his shoe, it's something like that.
Maybe it's like Velcro. No, yeah, he pulls his wallet out and it's like Velcro or something. He gives him this look.
Great.
Just like,
great look.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Ryan Gosling's always been good at comedy, that he needs to do more. Like, see this, you see like Nice Guys, obviously Barbie.
Obviously Barbie.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
100% more comedy.
Yeah, we've had Nice Guys on here, I'm sure.
Sequel, when? Like, anytime anyone ever mentions the Nice Guys, someone will go...
Sequel
when? Like, there's so many few times now people will be like, yeah, we want a sequel to that. And it's like, this is a film everyone wants to see more of. Like, what is holding you back? Because it was great and seems a bit of a wasted opportunity.
Apparently we're going to do a series, but I don't know what's happened to that.
With both of them?
I'll take a second film.
I don't know who with, but yeah, I'd rather a film.
One thing I asked in the notes, well, in the prep notes before coming here was like, do you think, I think it's the first time I've seen it in the post-Me Too thing, do you think everything holds up there, or there's some things you hold under a bit more of a lens, or you can, or does it get away with it?
So I think this would be a perfect film if we could ditch the babysitter storyline and the slightly incel-y kid. I remember watching it before then and thinking, I'm just not really sure about this young girl and the fantasy of the older man. It just kind of feels a little bit, it doesn't feel like the film needs it other than the kind of fight instigator, which could come from anything. And the taking the photos kind of feels a bit, I don't know, that's the only thing watching it now. And the son is a little bit kind of...
A bit much.
I don't know. It's a bit like... Take that out and it's perfect. And I'm just a bit like, yeah, the babysitter line is the one that I could ditch. Or I can just forget that's in there and just enjoy all the other bits.
Fast forward those bits.
Yeah. Get to the Ryan Gosling taking his shit
off. Yeah, I mean, I fast forward to that as well, to be fair. The bit where she gives those photos to Robbie, the kid, at the end.
Yeah,
at least cut that out. That was weird.
Because he's like, how old's he in this? I can never remember school ages in America because it's all weird.
Yeah, I think the rest of it holds up okay, actually, the rest of the storylines, because the rest of them are like people who are going through things, be it, you know, like Cal and kind of like, you know, obviously like kind of sleeps around a bit, but then kind of realizes that, but gets called out for it and then realizes after the fact, you know, he wants to get back together with his first love. And Ryan Gosling's character as well, who, similar thing, but it's more for him, it's more just like, oh no, he's found someone, which means he doesn't have to do that anymore. But I don't think there's anything kind of creepy or weird, like, you know, in those seduction scenes. Like, it's like, he knows what he's doing, but also the girls know what he's doing as well.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think any of that feels creepy, but I would agree that the babysitter stuff is just like, a bit cringe.
I do like the fact that he says that he works dirty dancing into the conversation.
Yeah.
It just does the lift. It's like, so good. Like, she just sort absolutely of slowly cooks down. I work dirty dancing in the conversation. Just so funny.
Because the seduction kind of begins early on when he tries to buy her a drink and she rebuffs him and he sees her the challenge. But then she comes on to him. But when they get back to his apartment and he makes the perfect drink and she's like, so you do this then? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, well, what's your move? And he's like, well, my move is dirty dancing. And she's like, what? And it reveals it is the dance. And she's like, so that happens in this. And it's just so perfect because that moment in Dirty Dancing is perfect. And to have it replicated in this situation is perfect. And when she says, oh my God, it's like you're photoshopped. It's so funny because it's true. It's like, how can a man have such perfect abs? And then
it's very difficult.
And it's perfect.
I know. Is that right, Lizzie? Just... Don't I look photoshopped?
The bit I like with that is
it's funny because she's saying what we're thinking at home, and it's just so perfect. And I'm not a fan of La La Land at all, but in this film, that I just think their chemistry is amazing. I think they're so brilliant together, these two. And it's so far into the film, and you know it's coming. You know it's coming. You're like, the Duke Dynasty, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then when it happens, you're like, yes. I don't know what it is. It's just the Dirty Dancing move, isn't it? It's just got unhold power that he's managed to tap into.
It's the combination of the move and, as you say, their chemistry. Those two together are fantastic. And this just, they sort of cut through the ridiculousness of lifting someone up. I mean, it is ridiculous, but it's also brilliant. But I couldn't do it with anyone besides a baby, and that's it. That's the only person I could lift up. I could lift anyone up. I'm not Ryan Gosling, unfortunately, despite previous claims. But it's a very funny moment. And like, I think his chemistry, Ryan Gosling's chemistry, also with Steve Carell, is really good. Like, it takes a while to sort of build to where they get to. But I love the development of their friendship. Like, he really sort of, he rips into Cal a bit, like when they go shopping. And that sequence is a great, great sequence of the film. But it just shows how well, like, one person can work with like two actors in different ways, and just show it shows how layered he really is, even though he seems really surface level initially.
Well, I mean, Ryan Gosling or...
Right, yeah, Jacob, yeah.
Yeah, Jacob, yeah. I think those scenes with him wearing Miyagi's cowl, as he called it.
it's great. I mean, it's one of those films that manages to bring in The Karate Kid and Dirty Dancing, two films that have like... a pincer grip on people, and it brings in that magic. Two films we've had here on Flicks Watcher
before as well.
Yeah.
When I was watching this back, I was like, are these like pickup scenes going to be a bit dodgy? And I think because it's played for the payoff at the end works from it, and he's never, Jacob is kind of happily invited into the area with the girls he talks to. I think he kind of gets away with it. And also the way he's helping out Cal as well, not just from a, like, let's sort your life out, but just being a genuine friend in those scenarios. I think it really does, it does work. So I was quite pleased to see that. One line that makes me laugh more than this should do, I guess, is when Cal first sees Jacob and he sees him talking to his girls and goes, gay. And I don't know, it shouldn't work, and it just shouldn't. But also it's like, you know, it's just what Cal would have said with his friends at school. As a derogatory thing, but it's just like not, he's not gay in any way, shape, or form. It's just that he's just like, he's that knobhead kind of thing. I don't know why.
I think with all the Jacob seduction scenes, the main reason they work is it's Ryan Gosling. He's inherently charming. Like, those scenes could be played in a way that are creepy.
Yeah.
But even like when he first meets Hannah and it like gets all that legalese conversation in, like, you know, permission to approach the bench and like objection leading the witness and all that, like, you know, someone else could say it and you like your eyes roll into the back of your head, but it's the way he does it. You can't help but be charmed by it, even though you can see it's a line a mile away. It's just inherently charming.
Also, I really like her friend as a supporter.
She's very funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just so vulgar at times, like, and there's a point where I think she's talking to her on the phone at the bar, and this guy approached her, it's like, yeah, no, not even in a million years, and it was just very funny. She's very brutal, and her reaction when she first sees Ryan Gosling is just completely overwhelmed. It's very good. She plays it really well.
Is there anything else guys want to say before we head to the scores?
I just also really, really love Steve Carell in this. From the start, when it kind of like opens on his suit that's too big and his trainers, and like when he gets the news on the way home and just jumps out the car.
I think that was a point when I was like, oh, this film's different when he jumps out the car.
And like, he's just trying so hard, but he's just not kind of getting it right on some things. And his kind of like wild night with the teacher is just really funny as well. Because it's just, there's just something about his humour and the way he can kind of like go to those levels and you're still on his side. I just think, I really enjoy watching his films, and I think this is like one of his best.
And it's really sweet in the way that, you know, he goes back and does the gardening at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's another intertwining thing is where you see that teacher is Robbie's teacher, and they have the interaction at the parents' evening, and it goes a bit haywire then. Who wrote this? This is just a really well done, interesting, funny film. And it's 2 hours long, which is like, maybe shave a bit off, but ultimately it stays its welcome. It doesn't outstay its welcome in any way, shape or form. You know, I think it's the length works well for the content and the script and everyone who's involved in it.
It's interesting because like most romantic comedies, there is kind of a makeover, but it's like always the woman that has the makeover. Whereas in this, kind of, it's told quite a lot from a male perspective in that we don't really know that much about Hannah until a little bit later on, even though obviously her and Ryan Gosling are one of the main romantic relationships in it. So I think it's really interesting to be able to do it from the male side, but it to have such a broad appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it grounds the friendship between the two guys as importantly as like the romantic relationships in it. And I think it does that really well. Like, I don't think it does that as a disservice to like the romances in it at all. I think one of the most important relationships in it is between Jacob and Cal. And like Neil was saying, it's that Ryan Gosling can have that there's different types of chemistry with different actors and the different relationships in the film. It's great.
Yeah, the male friendship is really nice to see because I think there are times when you see them and they kind of stereotype them, like they're all like drinking and making vulgar jokes and this, that and the other, whereas these two seem to be genuinely connecting and genuine friends. So it's nice to change that dynamic.
Yeah, it's like when Jacob brings Cal, just before he's about to meet Hannah's parents for the first time, Hannah's mum for the first time, you know, that's when you see that circle completed, right?
Mm.
And it reinforces that friendship and also reinforces the fact that, okay, Jacob knows this one side of things in relationship, but then this is, even for him, is a different step. And then it does help really set up that fight and everything afterwards. I think it's brilliant. Should we head to the scores?
Let's head on over to the scores.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have included fellow Stripped Media family members Martin and Sam from Song by Song, and Kobe from FlixWatcher, and Dave from The Wire Stripped. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
So welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. All of our scores are out of 5. You can have decimal places if you wish, and we will start with you, please, Neil, with your recommendability.
Well, because you talked about certain things we would remove from this film, I would say 4, because we would remove, you know, certain icky, shall we say, aspects about the babysitter and things like that. So I was going to go 4.
Lizzie?
Yeah, 4.5. I think even with the babysitter stuff, it's still one of the best rom-coms of recent years, I'd say.
Helen?
Yeah, I think this is definitely one of the easiest rom-coms to recommend, because I think men and women alike are kind of mesmerised by Ryan Gosling. There's something about him. And I think because the humour, it is an offensive humour. It's very clever, it's very funny, and it's quite silly. It's got pretty much a broad appeal. And I know I've said I don't like the babysitter story, and I kind of feel it's a bit weird in it, but I would still 4.8 recommend it.
I'm going to go for a 5 on this. It's super easy to recommend, and it just maintains the humour all the way through, which I think I can never believe it's 2 hours long, but it just does work. And I think that's special for rom-coms. Normally the 90-minute mark, you start to wane and you start to falter from it. I mean, it just surprised me from, like I said, within the first 5 minutes when I pressed play on it. So, repeat viewing score. Neil?
I'd say 5, yeah. I think we've watched it multiple times, Lizzie and I, and it's just something that I always enjoy, always love watching. I always laugh at pretty much every single joke when we watch it. A solid 5.
So I was just thinking about him, Jacob slapping Cal.
Oh yeah, all those slapping scenes.
So good. And then he slaps him.
All those little lines in the makeover sequence, like, be better than the gap.
Yeah.
Poor gap.
I was thinking about that.
He keeps like bringing him stuff out and he goes, no.
He just walks away at one point.
Just throws his shoes away.
I think it's a bit where like Jacob's talking to like the shop assistant saying, oh, would you sleep with Cal? And like she's like, yeah. And then Cal's like, really? And Jacob's like, you're talking her out of it. Like, stop it. Like, you know, she's already rethinking this decision. It's just great.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Lizzie, repeat viewing score.
Yeah, I go five. Yeah, me and Neil have watched it a lot. Like, I think it's one we both equally enjoy. So, yeah, I go five.
Helen?
I'm going to give it a strong four. It's not quite the five because it is a little bit longer than my ideal rom-com length, which is an hour and a half. So that's slightly stopping it. But yeah, it's a great one to watch and laugh along to, even though you know what's coming now.
I'm going to go for five as well. I think I watch it perhaps once every couple of years, just when it comes into my head, like, oh yeah, let's put that on. So when you guys suggested it, it was like, yes, it's that time of the year anyway. And I don't know why I kind of forgotten the second half of the film, not towards the latter half. I've forgotten about the fight really and stuff like that. So I like that. I think I like maybe having that cadence where I don't quite fully remember the film and then pick it up again. I'm like, but no, I'm going to enjoy it fully through to the end. But I think it's a five because I think I'll happily watch this for ever, really. I don't, in the same way, like with Harry Met Sally, you'll be watching that film forever. I think that's just magnificent. Small screen score. Neil?
Yeah, five again, I would say. It's not one that's that cinematic. You don't need to watch it on a big screen. Small screen of any kind will do. It's kind of ideal for home viewing, I would say. Like, I don't think you need to go to the cinema to watch a film like this. Most rom-coms aren't that cinematic, so I'd say five.
Lizzie?
I'd say five too. I think it would be fun to go to a cinema and watch it and kind of hear people's reactions to it. But yeah, I agree. Like, you could easily watch it at home and it'd be just as enjoyable. So, yeah.
Helen?
Yeah, I'm a five as well. It's kind of like perfect home viewing rom-comness.
I'm going for 4.95. Because I think I would totally love to watch this with other people in the cinema. I don't think it needs to be seen in cinema, but I think watching with other people would be hilarious. Engagement score, Neil?
Five. Again, I think it's something that I will never, ever turn off if it's on. Although I never see it on anything. We normally just will choose to watch it on some sort of streaming service. But if it's there and we haven't seen it in probably just a few months, we'll watch it. So yeah, definitely a five.
Lizzie?
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, it's definitely one. Yeah, if you were channel hopping and it was on, I'd leave it on regardless of where it was at, but very happy to sit there and watch it all the way through. I think it's great.
Helen?
Yeah, it's one of those that is a surprise that it is the 2-hour mark because it just kind of like zips along. And it is one of those that actually you do kind of need to pay a little bit of attention. Otherwise, you're going to be like, well, where did this come from? And it does reward you when you kind of watch it again. You kind of know it's coming and it all ties up in this like really clever little package. So genuinely rom-coms are things that you can kind of have like on in the background and not really pay attention. Whereas I think for this one, the more you give it, the more of a reward you're going to get for it. So I'm going to go 4.5 for engagement.
I think I'm going to go for a five because it is just, I guess, maybe from the first time I watched it and the twist. To then each time I do watch it, I do pay attention a bit more than I would just any other rom-com or comedy in general. So, and I think it deserves that compared to the other ones. So yeah, five. That gives an overall score of, actually, hold on. I'm going to just go to our scoreboard. So our top five films at the moment, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, When Harry Met Sally joint with Fugitive with a score of 4.78, 1, 2, 5. And then we have Two Other Boys I Loved Before. So two rom-coms in the top three there. Then we have Ghostbusters, then Groundhog Day. And then What We Do in the Shadows is exactly 4.7, which was the top rated film for a long time. So do you think, guys, that this film, is that anywhere near that? Where do you think it might feature? Do you think it's in the top 10? Neil, Lizzie?
Top 10.
I would say top 10 based on the scores we've given.
Yeah, I agree.
Helen?
I would hope top 10. I'm trying to think back to the What We Did in the Shadows kind of scores. I think maybe they need to be a little bit higher, more fives for it to top that. But I'm terrible at math, so I don't know.
Well, it is actually a new number one film.
No.
No way.
The overall score, 4.79688.
Really?
Absolutely.
We should have a little jingle for like top film.
Da, 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 da. There you go.
Okay. Wow.
What is that jingle? I know that. I recognise that jingle. I did suspect it might be quite high because I know Helen likes this, and we've talked about this in quite a few episodes beforehand.
Yeah,
no one's picked it.
And rom-coms do well.
They do here.
So, and often what lets film down is the small screen score or repeat viewing more than the recommendability or engagement.
Oh.
And I thought those would both be cut high, and they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow, yeah. 4.79688 is the new one to beat.
Not when Honey Met Sally in the Fugitive.
Oh my God. We've blown this thing wide open.
Officially better than When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm a big fan of Crazy Stupid Love, but it's not better than when Harry Met Sally. Like, objectively, it's just not. Yeah. Like, sorry.
Well, it's canon now. It's written.
Oh, damn.
It's written.
What a moment. We're all just soak it in. All it needed was Ryan Gosling without his shirt on. We know it's more than that.
Is it?
It's a group effort.
Some big films in this top 10. Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day. Bill Murray features quite highly in this top 10.
If you are interested in what this table looks like, it can be viewed on our website, and you can toggle around with the settings to view it from bottom to top. Beware, there are over 320 odd films on that list, so you probably don't want to spend too much time there. You might want to spend a lot of time there, but yeah, you can view by toggling some of the scores and have a look and see where your favourite might be. It's not always where you expect it.
What's the lowest scoring film? I'm intrigued now.
I was just going to look that up.
Goes the other end.
It's not B movies, surprisingly, which is not a great film.
It's That Thing You Do is the lowest rated film.
Okay.
Which is why I'll never reach out to Tom Hanks to join us on this one.
Surely there must be other films he's in that are further up the scale, though.
Have we had Tom Hanks in this?
Yeah, he's been in stuff. I'm pretty sure he has. That can't be the only Tom Hanks film. That would be a bit sad. It's not even that bad a film. It just, one guest didn't like it at all.
One guest gave it zeros across the board, so yeah, it really spiked it.
Yeah. I don't mind it. It's all right.
Yeah. Guys, well done. There's no prize.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
We used to, when we did this live, we used to give everyone who turned up a little pin badge to say thank you very much for partaking. Next time I see you, remind me, and if I have it, then I'll give you a pin badge. If not, then, you know, you wouldn't get it because I wouldn't have it on me. Simple as that.
You can buy us a drink. How's that?
Should say that, like, when Harry Met Sally entered the top, we did that recording in person. So this top spot has been held for at least 2-3 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
So
when Harry Met Sally was episode 85. Yeah. So it's been at least 4 years since that came up. So yeah, I thought it was going to be a high scoring one, but I didn't. Yeah, number one. Well done. Well done. I don't know. Is anything else you want to say? I feel should be say something momentous. It's just because of Ryan Gosling and his abs. Is that what it is?
That's what does it. That's what does it for me. What can I say?
All right. Well, Lizzie and Neil, can you sign up by telling everyone where we can find you online and then say goodbye to the listeners?
So I am at Lizzie1708 on Twitter or Lizzie_Swindles on Instagram.
I am at _Neil's Real Deal, all double E's, at Instagram and on Twitter. And yeah, this has been fun.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks so much for coming on. Bye.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of Flix Watcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at Flix Watcher Pod on Twitter, and we're at Flix Watcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the mighty people for their mighty, mighty tunes and Rockwood Audio's editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them Flix Watcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.